football on off the ball.
I'd be like you, I'm taking it all in, whether I'm on Twitter or whether I'm on Instagram and I'm seeing a Troy Parrott goal or a Troy Parrott assist. I'm taking it all in. I'm milking it for all it's worth because, look, he's done remarkable things in the last year with club and country.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, there's the fallout from last night's Champions League action, including the incident in Lisbon, where Real Madrid's Vinicius Jr. accuses Gianluca Prestigiani of racial abuse. We look ahead to tonight's European games, including Newcastle's trip to Azerbaijan to take on Karabag, and who could be next in the Celtic hot seat. But first to events last night in Lisbon, and Vinicius Jr. has called racists cowards after the Brazil forward was allegedly targeted during Real Madrid's 1-0 win away to Benfica in the Champions League. The match was stopped for over 10 minutes in the second half after an incident involving Benfica's Gianluca Prestigiani. His boss Jose Mourinho stuck up for him after the game.
I talk to Vinicius and he says one thing, and then I talk with Prestigiani and he says something else. I could turn red and say I only believe what Prestigiani told me, but in the world of football, these things happen. I try to be balanced and not say that Vinicius is a liar, and Prestigiani is an incredible lad.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, Spanish football journalist Graham Hunter joined Ger Gilroy and Vinnie Perth.
So Prestigiani, who is the accused player, says, "I want to clarify, at no time did I direct racist insults to Vinnie Jr., who regrettably misunderstood what he thought he heard. I was never racist with anyone, and I regret the threats I received from Real Madrid's players," he says on Instagram. But I think Kylian Mbappe has come out and said, "The number 25 from Benfica, I don't want to say his name because he doesn't deserve it, first said something bad, not acceptable, but that happens in soccer. Afterwards, he pulled up his shirt to cover his mouth and said, 'Vinicius is a monkey,' 5 times. I heard it. There are players from Benfica that heard it too. I don't want to generalise because there are people who didn't do anything in the stadium. There were 70,000 people who didn't do anything who just want to support their team. It's this player who for me should not play again in the Champions League." Before we get to Mourinho, when an allegation like that is so specific and it is someone like Mbappe who has put that in the public domain afterwards, UEFA surely have to act immediately. Will they?
I don't know. I don't know, and I think that these words feel uncomfortable saying them. Although we're in an era where democracy is being not only undervalued but undermined left, right and centre, those of us who are still civilised human beings understand the concept of innocent until proven guilty. It feels unclean in circumstances sometimes to use that, but if we don't use that, then we have nothing. I would say that witness statements to an act have been taken as conclusive throughout criminal justice history if they can be proven to be sufficiently credible. You've pointed out that Mbappe is a credible person, and I wholeheartedly agree. Extremely bright and articulate. And it's as a member of the jury, it's my supposition, although I did not hear Prestigiani saying the words, nor could I see because his jersey was over his mouth. It's my opinion that the burden of proof is with Vinicius, is with Real Madrid, and therefore, if I were asked by the judge to sentence, I would say guilty of racism.
And Graham also added that Benfica boss Jose Mourinho, a former Real manager, was a disgrace.
Because the case is proven. You've asked me directly about UEFA's protocols, actions, and Mbappe. What I can't swear is that Mbappe heard those words. I don't know if he was close enough. I don't know if the noise in the stadium would have permitted him to do that, or whether he is relaying to us what Vinicius has told him. Personally, because I believe Vinicius's take on events, I don't know. I felt very sorry. The number one person, because I believed what was going on, I believed Vinicius' response. Having met him maybe 3 times and interviewed him briefly, I like him. I find him a person who, in my opinion, has been battered by racism. This is a man who, remember, before a match against Atletico Madrid, saw a mannequin of himself hanging by its neck by a noose from a bridge over a motorway near Real Madrid and the rumour is training ground. And I say, fine, that did happen. It was aimed at him. He suffers racism all the time. And I think that all of us who participate in society, not just in football reporting, need to be brutally supportive of eradicating that and of pinpointing the perpetrators and punishing them. But beyond feeling deeply sorry for Vinicius and his black teammates, because they suffer this over and over and over again, it never seems to be eradicated, and it's disgusting. And I've said before, I have to admit that were it me on that pitch suffering what they suffer, I would react, and I would react very badly, and the red mist would come down. None of them did that. Vinicius didn't do that, but that's what I admit I would be doing. So until it's crystal clear who's near enough to hear, and until witness statements are taken directly to the governing body rather than to television, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And one of the people I felt was a bit of a victim here was Letizia, the French referee, who I think is extremely high standard in terms of all the matches I've seen him referee. And I think 98% of the time he does really well last night. Misses a very clear red card for Fede Valverde, who has a punch at Sami Dahl, the left back, the Swedish left back. But in general, he does well. But what can he do on the night except what he did? And there's nothing he can do. It makes him look beyond impotent, because he was beyond impotent in that situation. And I don't have an answer for you, Ger. I know that UEFA are investigating and reading all the reports of their observers. I don't know what's available to be done. And that makes it all the tougher to listen to Mourinho, who, in my opinion, is a disgraceful human being. I've said that many, many times. There is overwhelming evidence for that. And without misinterpreting or over-egging his words in the post-match interview and in the press conference, he has directed the blame towards Vinicius. And in that instance, Mourinho is completely in the wrong and is part of the problem.
And all of that is available to listen back to in your OTB Football podcast feed. Now, elsewhere in the Champions League last night, Galatasaray beat 10-man Juventus 5-2 in Istanbul. Holders PSG recovered from going 2-0 down away to Monaco to win 3-2 in the first leg. US international striker Follorin Balogun scored two goals for the home side, but then two goals from Desiré Doué and one from Ashraf Hakimi means the European champions will return to Paris with the lead. Borussia Dortmund won 2-0 at home to Atalanta. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe has challenged his players to make more history by reaching the last 16 of the Champions League for the first time. They face Karabag and Baku this evening in the first leg of their playoff tie.
We want to turn these moments and these games into history opportunities, into moments that the people talk about for a long, long time. I think there's a real excitement with this game and the travel and the number of supporters we're bringing. So I think it's all set to be a great occasion. And then we need to deliver like we have in our last two away games.
Elsewhere in the Champions League tonight, last season's runners-up Inter are in the Arctic Circle to take on Bodo Glimt, who've already beaten Manchester City and Atletico Madrid in this season's competition. Olympiacos are at home to Bayer Leverkusen, will Club Brugge take on Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid in Belgium.
This week on Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, how a Danish wonder kid nearly ended up at Liverpool, and how the team of the 80s could have won even more. Michael Ledger's proposed move to Merseyside could have altered the European football landscape, but why did the deal ultimately collapse? Find out on this week's Sliding Doors. Subscribe now in your OTB Football podcast to not miss an episode. Coming to you for free each and every Monday.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they're looking into why their players get injured in warm-ups this season. It's happened to the Premier League leaders four times already, but it hasn't stopped them building a four-point lead at the top ahead of their trip to bottom side Wolves. Arteta feels his side is learning how to deal with late disruptions.
We are looking up to it. On the wheel is one very difficult to see. Sometimes as well you want to try and test a player before to make sure that he's ready, and the warm-up is another opportunity to do that. It's what it is. We have to learn.
Wolves boss Rob Edwards isn't ruling out his side denting Arsenal's title push. The Premier League's bottom team have lost 10 of their 13 home games in the league this season, but Edwards is encouraged by how they get on in North London in December when they narrowly lost 2-1.
Be a different game, but there'll be parts of it that we can lean on and learn from, definitely. But they're a brilliant team who can sort of play in so many different ways.
New Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira says his job for now is to just keep them in the Premier League. He was able to help his former club Wolves avoid relegation last season, and Pereira is confident he can do the same with Forest.
I believe in the quality of the players because I believe in the potential of this club, the ambition of the president, and because I believe in the league. This is the best league, as I said before, in the world.
Last night, Wrexham and Bristol City both missed the chance to climb into the Championship playoff spots. It finished 2-2 in that game. Wrexham are behind sixth place Derby on goal difference. Bristol City are a point back. Ireland striker Sinclair Armstrong was on target for Bristol. Portsmouth moved 4 points clear of the relegation zone with a 3-1 win away to Charlton. And on the football show last night, BBC's Tom English joined Owen Sheehan, and he gave his opinion as to who could be the next Celtic boss after Martin O'Neill.
Who's going to be the manager in August?
Well, that's a very good question. I think there is one pretty obvious candidate staring them in the face domestically, and that is Jens Bertel Askew, the Motherwell manager, who has performed wonders with this Motherwell team. He hasn't signed many players, but he signed brilliantly. And the players that he inherited, he's improved them dramatically. They play, and I'm friendly with a number in the BBC, there's quite a few Motherwell fans in there, of different vintages. And they say they have never seen a Motherwell play the kind of football that Jens Bertel Askew has got them playing right now. They're the best footballing team in Scotland, Motherwell. They play lovely stuff. It's incredible, really. On a budget of tuppence halfpenny, this guy is getting this team to play fantastic football. And if Celtic were playing the kind of football that Motherwell were playing, Celtic fans would be happy. So Bertel Askew, with a bigger budget, bigger opportunity to build better quality of player, for me, it's a no-brainer.
And if you want to hear all our football coverage, remember, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. And if you haven't already, don't miss a minute of Premier League, Champions League, international and domestic football this month with an Off The Ball subscription. For a limited time only, you can get your first month for just €1. That's all your in-depth football coverage, expert analysis, specialist podcasts and more. Try OTB for a month for just €1 and see why Ireland sports fans never switch off. Download the Go Loud app and join in the obsession today. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.